Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the gifts that you've given this church. Music is amazing. Father, our congregation is amazing and our pastor is amazing. So we're thankful for him. We pray that you bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I was dying to finish high school and start college. Then I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to marry and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow old enough for school so I could work. And then I was dying to retire. And now I'm dying. And suddenly I realize I forgot to live. The message today is about contentment. Now, contentment is a state of happiness or satisfaction. The Bible says some things about contentment. I want to read my favorite illustration. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She moved the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. She picked it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter, who initially had written about the event, contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. Now, this message is about contentment. But what did Chippy have to learn from his experience? What did he learn that could cause him to be content? From that day forth, he was content to be in his cage. All right? Now, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. He said, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I greatly rejoice in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Now remember, Paul said, "I've learned." We have to learn to be content with our circumstances. Remember, Paul was also in a cage like Petey. The benefit? Because of his imprisonment, he was able to write many of the New Testament epistles. Paul lived in a world clustered with a smorgasbord of false religions. Whatever your favorite sin, one religion or another would serve it to you on a silver platter. Paul learned to be content in the place where he would not naturally be content. Paul, at least while in prison, was in a quiet place of contemplation. Are you satisfied with your present circumstances? People who are discontent are always listing what they don't have. Contentment comes by listing what you do have. I'd like to read this to you. Very simple. Reverend Chaliant tells of a couple who were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. The husband is asked what the secret was to a successful marriage. As the elderly are wont to do, the old gentleman answered with a story. His wife, Sarah, was the only girl he ever dated. He grew up in an orphanage and worked hard for everything he had. He never had time to date until Sarah swept him off his feet. Before he knew it, she had managed to get him to ask her to marry him. After they had said their own vows on their wedding day, Sarah's father took the new groom aside and handed him a small gift. He said, "Within this gift is all you really need to know to have a happy marriage. The nervous groom fumbled with the paper and ribbon until he got the package unwrapped. Within the box lay a large gold watch. With great care, he picked it up. Upon close examination, he saw etched across the face of the dial of the watch a pertinent reminder that he would see whenever he checked the time of day. The words, if heeded, held the secret to a successful marriage. They were, say something nice to Sarah. You also have the ability to say something nice to someone. You can do that. It's not difficult. All of you can do that. Two men looked out from prison bars, and one saw mud and the other saw stars. What do you see? It's impossible to be content, and it is possible to be content for the wrong reasons. Did you know that? Some people can be content for the wrong reasons, and I'm going to read an example of that. Several years ago, I had the pleasure of knowing two precocious three-year-olds. Christine and Momo were tiny, golden-haired beauties, cousins who were always chortling over some shared mischief. One day, Christine's mother hosted a lovely bridal shower. Both girls were decked out in fancy dresses and shiny shoes, and instead of chasing each other around the house as usual, they behaved like perfect little ladies. Sweet smiles graced their chubby cheeks as they handed glasses of cool, clear water to the assembled guests. How darling they looked. How beautiful they were. The women couldn't get enough of how cute as a button cousins were. It wasn't until the plates had been cleared and the last guest had left us that the story came out. Suspecting their ladylike behavior, one of their older sisters decided to do a little detective work. Following them, she discovered the awful truth. The two little girls had been grabbing glasses of water from the table and as fast as they could, trotted into the bathroom and dipped them into the toilet bowl. More than 50 women that day washed their cheesecake down with a libation of toilet water. I laughed myself silly when I heard the story until an awful thought occurred to me. I was there on that fateful day. The year was so full of weddings and babies, I couldn't keep all the parties straight. Even though the crime had been committed months earlier, my mouth suddenly tasted sour. The more I thought about it, the more certain I was that I'd been spared that particular event, and then suddenly the whole story got me chuckling again. Humor, like most things, is determined by one's perspective on life. But that day, whether you thought your glass was half full or half empty, didn't matter a whit. In either case, you'd been served a perfect drink by a couple of perfect little ladies. Now, there's right reasons for being content, and I'm going to read you one of those. A boy went into a pet shop looking for a puppy. The owner of the store showed him a litter in a box. The boy looked at the puppies. He picked each one up, examined it, and put it back into the box. After several minutes, he walked back to the owner and said, "I picked one out. How much will it cost?" The man gave him the price, and the boy promised to be back in a few days with the money. "Don't take too long," the owner cautioned. "Puppies like these sell quickly." The boy turned and smiled knowingly. "I'm not worried," he said. "Mine will still be there." The boy went to work, weeding, washing windows, cleaning yards. He worked hard and saved his money. And when he had enough for the puppy, he returned to the store. He walked up to the counter, laid down a pocketful of wadded bills, and the store owner sorted and counted the cash. And after verifying the amount, he smiled at the boy and said, "All right, son, you can get your puppy." The boy reached into the back of the box and pulled up a skinny dog with a limp leg and started to leave. The owner stopped him. "Don't take that puppy," he objected. "He's crippled. He can't play. He'll never run with you. He can't fetch. Get one of the healthy puppies." "Oh, no, thank you, sir," the boy replied. "This is exactly the kind of dog I've been looking for." As the boy turned to leave, the store owner started to speak but remained silent. Suddenly he understood, for extending from the bottom of the boy's trousers was a brace for his crippled leg. Why did the boy want the dog? Because he knew how it felt, and he knew it was very special. What did Jesus know that enabled him to do what he did? He knew how people felt, and he knew that they were special. I hope you'll never forget that. Jesus knows how you feel. You're under the gun at work. Jesus knows how you feel. You got more to do than humanly possible. So did he. You got children who make a piranha hour out of your dinner hour? Jesus knows what that's like. People take more from you than they give. Jesus understands. Your teenagers won't listen. Your students won't try. Your employers give you blank stares whenever you assign tasks. Believe me, friend, Jesus knows how you feel. Let me say something. You can be content in whatever the circumstances. You can learn, but you have to learn to be content. You don't look at what you don't have. You take inventory of what you do have. You have your health. Okay? You have a place to live. And more important than that, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you have eternity in heaven. And it's locked in. For the Bible clearly says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his especially beloved, unique, only one of his kind sons, that whoever so believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hey, what have you got to feel sorry for yourself about? If you can't be content with that, that's at least the beginning. Also, you can say a kind word. There's always somebody who needs your encouragement. There's always someone in the same circumstances you're in. There's always somebody who has the same kind of pain in their heart that you have. But what they're looking for is somebody who not only knows, but somebody who understands and somebody who cares. Your contentment can either result in mischief or ministry. And we all have a ministry. You have to understand, you were not born out of place. You were born in this place. For such an hour as this, you were called into the kingdom. You are to grow where you're planted. God's blessing doesn't come where you aren't. It comes where you are. And if you're not content and learn contentment with where you are, you'll never be content wherever you are. So let me say this. This is a wonderful congregation, and you all have much to praise the Lord about. But perhaps you're here and have never trusted Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," right? "Should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's not good news. But listen, it doesn't stop there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ came to pay the price of your sin and my sin. And since he paid that price, the bill has been paid. The debt has been satisfied. And because Christ now conquered death and was raised to the right hand of the Father, he is a sovereign God, is your representative. He is your lawyer. He is the one that stands before God and says, as the Father knows, paid in full. Now look, starting with that premise, I know it's not easy sometimes. I'm not saying you don't hurt. I'm not saying you haven't been disillusioned. I'm not saying you're satisfied with everything that's going on. Of course you're not. But I will say this, there's always something. There's always something that for you can be a ministry. And all of us can do that. Isn't that interesting? I love children. When my little niece was just 3 years old, she had made a profession of faith in Christ with my mother. And of course, as a little girl, you know, she just loved my mother. And one day my mother had a headache. And my little niece came up and said, "Have you asked Jesus to fix it? What's the matter with you? You haven't asked Jesus to fix it? Ask him to fix it." Whatever your circumstance, you haven't asked Jesus to fix it? Ask him to fix it. You'd be surprised. He's a gentleman. He waits to be asked. That's what prayer is. Prayer is asking. And prayer is God responding. He's a gentleman. He's waiting for you to ask. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, he's waiting for you to ask for forgiveness. He's waiting for you to ask him to come inside. He's waiting for you to invite him to be a part of your life, because he wants to not only help you do what you can do, but he wants to make it possible for him to do what he can do through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to be content. We can be content regardless of the circumstances, but many times we have to learn that. So we thank you, Lord, for this time, this opportunity, and this place where we are today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.